What's up, you guys? I'm Haley.
And I'm Andrea.
And this is a bonus Halloween listener story, spooky ooky version of Inhuman.
Bonus Jonas Halloween. Whoop!
Okay, so because it's Halloween, we wanted to bring you a spooky, ooky listener stories version of listener stories. I just said that way weird. But
it's fine.
We wanted to bring you guys a bonus episode today in honor of Halloween. And we're going to be sharing a bunch of really creepy listener stories and one story about Lake Lanier, which we covered a couple episodes ago. So if you haven't listened to that, be sure to listen to that episode. And when I read this, I was like, I have to share this on the podcast because it is scary, crazy. This one's not a spooky ooky necessarily, maybe a little bit, but the rest will be.
We had a lot of people write in about Lake Lanier, like especially on our Instagram, like a lot of messages on our Instagram. And like a lot of people were like, what? This lake is not spooky. What are you talking about? And I'm like, you talking about, but that's not what I heard. But then we had some people say, like, there was one girl, I can't remember her name, I'm so sorry, but she said that like one summer she went with her uncle and they literally saw like the top of a church steeple.
Oh my gosh.
And that to me is so ominous.
So creepy.
I know.
Yeah, that's really creepy.
Yeah.
All right, well, with that, let's get into this first listener story. This is from Lauren. Hello, ladies. I'm a probate lawyer practicing near Lake Lanier. Probate is death law, FYI. Thank you for that, because probably wouldn't have known that.
Sadly, yeah.
And I live about 20 minutes from Lake Lanier. I spent my youth boating, jet skiing, swimming, and playing in and around this lake, and while we always knew about the flooded town, we played it safe and enjoyed the water. There's a fun water park at the lake, too, and it's a sure way to get sun poisoning. It's a huge lake, and many of the tragedies are stupidity-related. Mm. Think binge drinking and boating at night sort of stupid, which I did mention that in the episode that a lot of the deaths are from drinking, which is very unfortunate. Mm-hmm. I myself almost died in the lake when I was in ninth grade, and I still love going and take my kids there now.
Wow.
As long as you are careful, wear your life jackets, and don't scuba dive, you're probably going to come out okay. My story on that lake is scary and only the result of half-stupid behavior. I spent summer weekends at this lake, and we had a boat, a jet ski, etc. My dad was a used car salesman for years, so he would buy us these toys and we would use them for a bit, then sell them and get something new. Which, that sounds like my husband's dream. He is like, wants a lake house and like lake toys and all of that so badly.
Same though, for real, same.
It sounds fun, but it's not my like number one dream.
Yeah, it's not my number one dream either, but it's up there.
Yeah. One summer weekend, we were spending time at the lake with family friends who also had boats and jet skis. I went out with my friend on the jet ski, and we were supposed to stay within eyesight of the shore and our parents. While being 14, my friend and I decided to explore, and when we got back safe, I was promptly forbidden from going out on the jet ski or boat again that weekend.
Dang.
Well, the whole crew of kids and some adults went out on the boat to go tubing, and I was left behind. After watching me mourn my punishment, my parents decided they were too harsh, since my friend didn't get punished at all, and she's the one who instigated the exploring.
That's the way it always happens.
Oh, yeah. My dad agreed to ferry me out to the boat on our jet ski. Now, I am, and have been since eighth grade, 6'1".
Wow. That's good, though. That's cool. Tall girls, yeah. Man. I'm a tall girl, but I'm not that tall. I'm like 5'7", 5'8", which is not probably considered tall, but everyone says I'm tall.
When we met in person for the first time, Andrea and our friend Julie were together, and me and our other friend Rachel were together, and we like all met up, and Andrea goes, you guys are short, because me and Rachel are like shorter than expected, because after 3 years of just talking on the internet and like Zoom or FaceTiming to do stuff, we had never like seen each other's actual height. So just a little side note. I'm like 5'5", and I think Rachel is too. But that was like one of the first things that Andrea said, and it's like still sticks in my mind. It was so funny.
Yeah.
Okay, back to the story. So you've been 6'1 since the eighth grade. My dad is 6'4 and a big dude. I am also a strong swimmer and had no worries about this this plan to carry two large people on a small skidoo,
skidoo, jet ski, another term for a skidoo. Yeah,
clearly I don't know a lot about lake life. So I had no worries about this plan to carry two large people on a small skidoo out God knows how many miles. So off we go, dad driving and me holding on. Thankfully, we both wore life vests equipped with safety whistles. We weren't on that water for 5 minutes when a storm seems to come out of nowhere. Mm. Okay, see, this is where I get freaked out because, like...
out of nowhere.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Was the sky even darkening when we loaded up and headed out? I didn't think so. But there we were, riding increasingly taller and rougher waves as it begins to rain and whip around. Another 5 minutes and we were in a full-on storm. The jet ski dipped under each wave it crested, landing hard and pushing us side to side. Then one particularly large wave crashed over us and we were swept off the jet ski into the dark waves.
Oh my gosh.
My strong, big, protective dad was swept away from me, his head barely above the water, even between the waves. Being tall and skinny, then, in parentheses, which I so relate to that, that's funny, and a swimmer, I had no trouble keeping above the water, even with the waves. But my dad panicked, and even though he had a life jacket on, he was going under enough to lose his breath. I swam to him and then tried to grab the jet ski. The engine cuts off if you go overboard, since the key is attached to a wristband. Safety first. Mm-hmm. So the jet ski was being pushed one way and my dad the other way. I thought if I got the jet ski and pulled it to my dad, if he could hold on, maybe his head would stay above water and I could jump on and pull him up behind me. But when I got close to him, he grabbed my shoulders, frantically clinging to me and trying to keep his head out of the water. I tried to stay calm and to hold him and told him to hold the side of the jet ski, but through his panic, he couldn't do anything but grab for me. I've heard that drowning people panic and will grab someone trying to save them, and I know this is what happened. I tried to help him climb up the tipping and toppling jet ski, but he couldn't get himself hoisted in the bobbing waters. Mm-hmm. I looked at my dad's face, his eyes only popping out of the water as the waves dipped, his nose repeatedly falling below, and knew I couldn't help him myself. I remembered the safety whistle and yelled to him over the wind that I was using it to get us help. I grabbed the whistle off my life jacket and blew like our lives depended on it, because his did. Within what felt like forever, a small and squat little bass fishing boat pulled up. These boats don't have stairs or any way to get into the boat if you fall in. They are flat and simple and have a motor and that's about it. But it was stocked with two stout fishermen who realized our problem and immediately grabbed my dad's life jacket and pulled. I pushed, and after a few failed attempts, my dad was hoisted into the small boat, almost tipping it in the process. The rain was pounding harder then, and now we had lightning and thunder. Just saying, lightning, thunderstorm rolling in out of nowhere, kind of freaky.
And I'm sitting here going, crashing waves in a lake? Like, that's terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's scary. I knew we had to get back to shore and my dad was hyperventilating so he couldn't help. I was able to get on the jet ski with little effort because unlike my dad, I was athletic and young. If I tried that today, again, I feel bad. Yeah. We made it back to our campsite by the beach and we thanked our fishermen saviors who had to follow my lead to find our beach. We quickly told everyone what happened and then waited for the boat full of kids to return. I felt guilty as hell for almost getting my dad killed, because if I hadn't misbehaved, we never would have been on that jet ski together. I know it wasn't my fault, and my dad is still here, the best pop-pop to my three kids that I could ever imagine.
No.
Did that storm manifest because the lake is bad luck? Did we almost die because it's cursed? I don't think so. But water is dangerous, and people can be stupid. Don't be so stupid that you put 400 pounds of tall people on a jet ski built for one, and then expect you can glide easily over storm crests. I've got tons of amazing death-related stories. I deal with death and dying every day and help people plan in Georgia to make that process as easy as possible for their loved ones. And I fight like hell for my clients if that process goes wrong. Mm-hmm. Do your estate plan, especially if you have young kids. Lauren.
So true. So freaking
true. Wow, Lauren. I'm so glad you guys are okay. That's really scary. Yeah. I'm glad that you like knew what to do, because I feel like if I saw my dad panicking, I would just panic and then we'd just be screwed. So major props for knowing what to do. I like that reminder at the end because I obviously we all hate to think about that, but it's important to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing your story. I definitely think that I don't think it was necessarily bad luck that caused the storm, but I definitely think there was maybe something. There's maybe some reason why there's like random storms there, but but also don't be stupid whenever you're in the water. Just like when yes. you're in the ocean, don't turn your back to the waves. Like it's the worst thing you can do.
Water safety is almost like more. I don't know. To some extent, I feel like it's almost more important than like
land
driving
safety.
Like safety yeah. because there's no, you know, lines to stay in the road or, you know, you don't yeah. have to stop signs and lights and stuff. But accidents happen all the time, especially when alcohol is involved, and yeah. which it often is on lakes. But
and I feel like people don't know enough about water safety.
Like, no, they definitely
most
don't.
Most people just don't know anything about it and they can still go and like, I mean, I know you have to like probably be licensed to drive a boat, like a big boat, but actually, I don't know.
No, not really. I mean, what do you classify big boat? Like a pontoon? Because you definitely don't have to have a license to drive
yeah.
a pontoon. Some lakes might require. I don't even think they do, though. At least not around here. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think around here either. I don't know. But whether or not they do, most people that are like, I feel like out on the water don't know what they're doing. I mean, I've been on two trips in the last year where we were able to just jet ski and they're basically like, this is go, this is stop, go ahead.
Yeah,
like
that's pretty much
so
it.
So it's kind of like, yeah, it can be scary and definitely be safe if you're on the water.
Yep.
All right, let's get into some of the spooky Halloween stories.
Okay, so this next one is from Adrian. She says, spooky story here. My mom died at the age of 34 when I was 9 and my sister was 10 years old.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My mom and dad, I know. My mom and dad were high school sweethearts. They were married shortly after my dad graduated high school. She was 2 years older than my dad, so he was only 32 when she passed, and he eventually remarried. One night while my stepmom was asleep, she woke up to my mom standing at the foot of their bed, which had been my mom and dad's bed. My mom looked at her and told her to get away from her husband. Bravely, my stepmom replied, he's not yours anymore. He's my husband now.
Oh my gosh.
That's brave. That's very brave. She said my mom looked down and then said, well, please take care of my girls.
Aww.
My stepmom said she would, and my mom smiled and faded away. I've always enjoyed that story.
That's really I feel sweet. Like she just like didn't know what was going on. She probably just like came back and was confused, and that's why she was like, get away from my husband. But once she realized that
yeah
she was no longer alive and that she said, you know, he's my husband now, she's like, oh, okay, take care of my girls.
That reminds me, okay, this is stupid, but that reminds me of like the movie Casper, because you remember oh, yeah. the part where like the mom comes back and like at first, I yes. don't think she like remembered yes. That she had passed.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Adrian, for sending that in. That was really sweet. And yes, it's a little spooky, but mostly it was sweet, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Next story is from Julia. Hey, y'all. I just found your podcast today and I've binge listened to them while making a diamond painting. Oh my gosh, I've been seeing diamond paintings all over my TikTok
what
and have
this?
Been wanting to get one. You literally like put little diamond. It's so cool. Do you need to just look it up?
Okay.
And I'm taking this as my sign to go order one on Amazon because I've been thinking about getting one for like a couple weeks now.
Okay, I'm going to look it up.
It's really cool. Okay. I love listening to y'all. Your voices are so soothing to me and I've been listening for hours. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I hope the way I told my story isn't scattered and makes sense. Now, on to the story. This happened when I was 11. I am now 17. So, backstory, near where my mama's house was
eventually
built. Mama. I can't say it with a southern
accent.
Well,
she said, hey, y'all, so I'm assuming it's
mama. Yeah, I'm assuming, yeah. So, where her house was eventually built, there had been a car wreck in the 50s. It used to be a dirt road, and my family got into a wreck. And a family got into a wreck, not my family. The 10-year-old girl died on that road.
Oh my gosh.
Fast forward to 94 when my mom was growing up in that house. She kept seeing a 10-year-old girl tapping on her bedroom window. Fast forward again to 2017 when I was living there for a little bit between moves. I don't remember much about that sighting. After that, we had moved into my big pawpaw's house that we renovated after he died. I always felt a presence in the corner of my room. One time I was having a sleepover with a friend. She was known to see spirits.
Oh.
She was laying on the trundle while I was on my bed. She was facing the corner where I always felt a presence. We were laughing and having a good time when she randomly laid down. I asked her what was wrong and she sat up. I asked her, "Piper, what's wrong?" She asked me, "Who's Piper?" I was freaked out. She then looked to the corner of the room and said that there was a little girl about the age of 10. She said that the girl had dirty blonde hair and a dress from the 50s. She described her that same way my mom did. Piper then started talking to the girl. My friend turned around and said that the girl wanted to play with us. I just sat there creeped out. Piper turned back to the girl and then back to me, saying the girl had to go home. She told the little girl goodbye and then laid back down. When she sat back up, I asked her what had just happened. She told me she didn't remember, so I told her what I had just witnessed. She told me she didn't remember saying that, and I was creeped out. That's so freaky. Oh my gosh.
Like she was possessed for a moment.
Yeah. Fast forward to late 2021. I started having nightmares like no other. It got to the point that I had to do a white sage smudging in my room because of all the negative energy in that corner of my room. I'm nearly 17 now, and I can still feel that little girl that followed me from my mama's house to mine. I routinely do sage smudgings and put black salt in that corner and on the two windowsills of that corner window. It still creeps me out, but now that I do the incense and sage smudgings, it's not as bad. I don't feel her watching me anymore, but I still feel her standing in the corner. I have a little altar that has candy as an offering, sage, incense, and crystals to help protect me.
Aww.
That's neat. That you kind of are like trying to respect her and like...
Yeah. I've heard that before, like offering spirits things kind of keeps them at peace, you know, because
right.
You don't know what their intentions are.
Right.
Wow, that's crazy. Wow.
I hope you like my story and stay human. Lots of love, Julia.
Wow, Julia.
Thank you for sharing that, Julia. That's wild, creepy, and just like, I can't believe your friend
all
was like.
All of the things.
Oh my gosh.
And the fact that she like didn't even realize she was.
Doing that, like, and she was like, "Who's Piper?"
Yes,
oh, that's creepy.
No thanks.
That little girl definitely just wanted to play with you guys.
I know, and that's so sad. She passed away in a car accident. That's so awful.
Yeah.
Okay, this next one is from Brian. He said, "Hello, it's me, Brian, writing from my couch in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania."
Hi, hello, Brian.
Huge true crime fan, and for the last few months, I have been trying to get into true crime podcasts, but most I find are just two people making bad jokes and catching up with each other for the first 40 minutes, then interrupting themselves to make more bad jokes. Damn. No thanks. I can do that with my friends. I'm here for the story. I almost gave up on podcasts altogether until I found you two. Oh, Brian.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for doing such a great show, telling great stories, not being annoying, yet still entertaining. Well, thank you, Brian.
We try. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so I hesitated on submitting this story for a while because nothing really happened crime-wise or actual ghost sighting, but it's spooky season, so I figured I'd share because... this is the spookiest thing that I've ever experienced. Like cartoon level spooky. Okay. I was maybe 21 in, I'll say, 2001. Still living with my parents in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Sorry to brag.
Scranton?
Yeah.
Did you visit the office?
Yeah. I feel like that whole town's probably just like the office.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yeah.
I was delivering pizza for a shitty pizza place. I was on what I hoped would be my last delivery for the night around 11:30 p.m. I came back to the shop assuming I was done for the night, but to my dismay, someone placed an order before midnight, which is when we closed. It was by my house in Bull's Head, North Scranton, which if you're not familiar with that area, and you shouldn't be, is the weird part of Scranton that no one is from and is the least talked about neighborhood. This was before GPS, but the house I was delivering to wasn't far from where I grew up, so I figured it would be an easy find. No big deal. I arrived in my 1994 Mazda MX-3, again, sorry to brag, at this almost mansion-like home that I had never seen before somehow. Most homes around there are just standard middle-class two-story houses. It was a well-lit street, but this house didn't catch the street lights like the rest of the houses, which was weird because it was on a corner. Most homes in that neighborhood have a front yard and are set back a bit, but for some reason, this house was just darker than the rest of the block. Wasn't into the vibe already. I walk up, notice no porch lights are on, no lights on in the house I can see. I immediately get a real bad feeling and scared for no reason. I'm not afraid of the dark or anything, just got a big, bad, sinking feeling, like my blood felt heavy. But I knock on the door, ring the doorbell, didn't hear a ring, which is common because doorbells never work, and I wait and wait. I'm getting annoyed because I'm uneasy and I just want to go home and play video games and eat food. Again, this is, you know, pre-cell phone times, so I knock and knock, I peer into the window beside me, and I see an old lamp with cobwebs on it.
Ooh.
This is a lamp that's in the window that's next to the front door, for Christ's sake. Who wouldn't dust that? Also, I'm talking cobwebs, not dusty. Cobwebs. Like, no, extending you. From the lamp to the table. So I'm getting spooked even more. I think, okay, it's a big house. Maybe their back door is their main door for them. Not uncommon, especially for a corner house. So I step back to go around to the side of the house when I notice a light on. The only light on, and it's in the attic.
Ooh.
Like, classic attic window on the top of the house where the pointed roof is. What do I see in the attic? A bell. Like a Liberty Bell type bell. Who has one of those? So I'm like, fucking hell, this is spooky as shit, but I gotta deliver this pizza, go back to the shop, get paid, and go home. So I walk fast around the side of the house to find the back door. I see a dim light, so I'm like, oh, cool. Maybe they use their side door mainly. I walk towards the dim light to see a small driveway and a garage. What is parked outside of the garage and the driveway, you ask? Well, I shit you fucking not. A hearse. A fucking hearse. At this point, I'm trembling. Again, just a bad feeling to begin with. This is reminding me of, what's that movie with, is it Tom Hanks? What is it called? I'll think of it in a second. Okay. Again, just a bad feeling to begin with, but I try to find humor in the situation. The darkness, the spooky lamp, the bell in the attic window. I'm in a cartoon. I love cartoons, so I trudge on. I find the back door, I peek in, see a kitchen, and hear voices, so knock, knock again. Nothing. So I focus my attention on the voices I hear to maybe shout out to them. But then I realize it's coming from a radio. Yep, you guessed it, an old-timey radio. Ooh, I'm crumbling. No. I'm crumbling at this point. I try to de-spook myself by listening to what they're talking about on the radio, thinking, well, maybe it's a local classic rock station or something that I'm familiar with that will make everything seem a little more normal. Nope, it was a talk radio station talking about, again, I shit you not, ghost.
Oh my God.
And how they usually stay around where they died or places they have attachments to and haunt those spots. At this point, I bolt. I've always been an overweight gentleman. And even at that age, bolting was not something I've ever considered to be in my repertoire. I race back to the pizza shop with the undelivered pizza. I explain what just occurred in my coworker. And my coworker said, weird. Because they just called and said they never got their pizza. WTF. I drove by that house with my friend a few weeks later after explaining to them what I saw and how spooky the house was. When I brought them to this quote-unquote spooky house, there was no bell in the window, and a normal sedan parked in the driveway. I still can't wrap my hand around it. Thanks for reading. Hope you enjoyed. Keep up the great work. Brian.
Brian. Oh my God.
Holy shit. That was really good. That was...
I think you saw like a ghost.
Some yeah, like weird a different dimension. Reality. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's so creepy. That gave me chills.
You should drive by that house like today and let us know what it
yeah,
looks
if
like
it's still
now.
Spooky. Yeah. Oh,
that's
that was
insane.
Creepy.
That is really creepy. I'm glad no one answered the door though, because I feel like, what was the name? Okay, I'm Googling it. Just tell your next story because I need to know what this movie's called. Okay.
Hello, everyone. This is future Andrea coming to you to tell you that the movie I was referring to is the 1998 classic comedy horror, The Burbs. That's what that reminded me of. Okay, bye.
Okay, next story is from No Anonymous. Okay. I love listening to you guys, and I started watching you on TikTok, and when I heard you had a podcast, I had to go and listen and have loved it ever since. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
So I actually have quite a few stories. A few of the stories are from when I was almost kidnapped and one spooky one, so I might break it up so it's not overwhelming for you guys and for me.
Oh my gosh.
My first story was when I was 14 years old. I was sitting home alone watching TV, and I get a phone call from my mom telling me to go out and find my little brother because she couldn't get a hold of him. And when she called my brother's friend's mom and she said that they left to go to the shops across the street from their house. Luckily, the friend lived close by, so I started walking up the street to go to the shops. I turned the corner and walked to the top of that street when my mom called me back saying she finally got a hold of him and said I could go back home. I turned back around and noticed someone hiding behind a tree. At first, I thought it was weird, but sort of brushed the feeling aside and kept on walking. The weird feeling came back and I also felt like this person was following me.
No.
There's one house on that street that would always stop by to say hi, that I would always stop by to say hi to the dogs in the yard, but I decided against it this time. I've also never heard these dogs bark, so as I walked, they followed me from one side of the fence and to the other and walked straight past them and started to pick up the pace. I was too scared to turn around and look at the person. Then I hear the dogs barking and I knew something was wrong. I turned around and saw this person and it seemed like they were fixated on me.
No.
I pick up the pace again and as soon as I turn the corner and can't see them anymore, I book it back to my house.
Oh my God.
As I'm running, I turn around to see if they're chasing me and they were. I start to run faster and inside my house, locking the door behind me. I then went and locked all the windows in the basement, made sure the front and back doors were locked, and grabbed a frying pan as my weapon of choice. I love that. And then I hear my parents pull in the driveway. When they unlocked the door, they were confused on why the door was locked in the first place. I didn't bother to explain what had happened and said that I was in the habit of locking the door behind me. A part of me thinks it was fake and made up, and that maybe I misinterpreted the circumstance, but at the same time, it felt real. I don't know. I definitely think it was real, and I don't think you misinterpreted. If somebody was following you and those dogs were barking, and you said they never barked and, like, knew you, they definitely could sense that something was wrong, and, like, oh my word.
Yeah, that's the fact that they didn't bark at you and they barked at this other thing, person, entity, whatever it was.
Yeah.
That definitely leads me to, because they knew you. You talked to them. They're like, oh, this is our homie. Like, we don't need to bark at her. We know her. But the other thing was like, nope.
That's really creepy. I'm glad you're safe.
Yeah, me too. Okay, this next one. Excuse me. I think I forgot to like write the names for the last few. So I'm looking them up right now and I'm going to tell you what your ones is too. Okay. So this one is from Honey Mackie.
Aww.
We love it. Okay. She says, or he, I'm not going to assume your gender. They say, hi lovelies. I first discovered your podcast when a really good friend of mine sent me Haley's TikTok playlist, Men Mysteriously Missing. I've been in love since. Anyways, let me just hop right on to my spooky story. For a very long time, I've been plagued with sleep paralysis.
Oh no, I can't do sleep paralysis.
I know. It's so terrifying. Sometimes I think I have it and I'm like, oh my God, I can't move. But then I'm like, oh yeah, I can't.
Oh, that's so scary.
The episode started between my first and second year of high school. And when I say it scared the living hell out of me, I couldn't sleep for weeks. The more it happened, though, the more accustomed I got to it. I realized they only happened when something unnatural and not nice was residing in the place I slept. I knew the signs of an incoming episode and knew how to break the paralysis. Wow.
That's good.
That is really good. The episodes would come and go, and I was still able to sleep, or so I thought, until the week before I left for college. I was packing some stuff away and decided that I was going to take a nap. I could feel that the episode was coming, so I tried to, you know, fight it. After a while, I thought I was in the clear, but the moment I laid my head down, it felt like something extremely heavy covered my body. It was unlike any of the episodes I had previously had. My mind was blank, my breathing was slowing, and none of the things I had used to help was working. For a split second, it felt like I had succeeded, but almost instantly the weight was back, and it was 10 times worse. I thought I was going to die, and the fight in me was dwindling.
No, that's so scary. That's terrifying.
After what felt like forever, the episode finally ended, and I immediately jumped from my bed and laid across my living room floor and began to pray. I was so afraid, I didn't know what else to do. Mm-hmm. Not even 15 minutes into my prayer, I began to scream, "Get out! You don't belong here!" until my voice went hoarse. I did not sleep for days after that incident, and much to my surprise, I didn't have an episode like that ever again. From then on, they've only really been small ones and lasted a minute or less. Before I get out of your hair... Wow. You are not in our hair, honey. I have something cool to share. My college roommate had paranoia that was triggered by the supernatural. So when I had an episode, she would know because she would get extremely paranoid. Wow.
Oh, that gave me chills.
I know. It amazes me because we were almost not going to be roommates because we match with different people on paper. She is now one of the greatest friends I have and like a sister to me. Keep up the good work, ladies, and I apologize for rambling. You have a forever fan in me.
Aw, thank you.
Not rambling, and thank you. That means so much to us. That's so nice to say.
Oh, that's really creepy, though. I'm glad you haven't had another episode like that.
Yeah.
Okay, next story says, hey, you guys, just a point. Ia is my full name. It's not short for anything, and it is not a mistake. I actually love that name. That's very pretty. This one is more my dad's story than mine, but I think it is so crazy and he will not share it with you. So I will. My grandparents had a fir wood plantage. They literally lived in the middle of a huge forest of fir trees. Not far from the house, like 7 to 10 kilometers away in a small airport that was built by the Germans during World War II, and it's still operating today. That's insane. One evening when my dad was visiting his parents, someone knocked. No one just showed up by accident there. It's that remote. My dad opened the door, and outside was a man covered in blood with cuts and bruises and everything. My dad, of course, called emergency services, and it turned out that a small private plane had taken off from the airport a few hours before, but never appeared on the radar, so there was already a search going on, but no one had found anything. The airport is in a blind spot, so planes had to get to a certain altitude before they can be seen. But this man was the pilot.
Oh my gosh.
He had survived a plane crash in the forest and had walked around the forest for hours looking for help. The man was okay, but how fucking crazy is that?
That is so crazy because thank God your grandparents did live in the woods. Because, I mean, he could have succumbed to his injuries had he had to walk around for much longer.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's insane.
That is really insane. Okay. This next one is from Thalia. I think it's Thalia. If I'm saying that wrong, I'm so sorry.
It might be Talia.
Talia? Okay.
Talia.
Well, Talia, thank you for sending this in. I'm sorry if we're saying your name wrong. She says, I'll preface the story by saying I'm very empathetic and I have been able to see and speak to spirits from a very young age. When I was about 28 years old, I was out with a team of paranormal investigators and we were staying overnight in the Gonzales Jailhouse in Texas. It was one of the last few places in Texas to hang prisoners. Ooh.
Oh, wow.
That's really...
Oh, I could not do that. Mm-hmm. You guys know I don't like paranormal shit like that.
And that's such a horrible way to die, I feel like,
mm-hmm.
that people would probably be haunting that place.
Haunting, yeah.
The prison itself has three floors. The first floor has a small museum with artifacts, the office where they would process inmates, solitary confinement, and the bathroom. The quote-unquote bathroom used to be where they would house both women and insane criminals together.
Oh my god.
The second and third floors were normal cell blocks with very old iron cells. Inmates would often carve their names into the walls, and there was even an escape at one point when a few inmates tunneled through the ceiling of the third floor. Crazy. That's insane. Wow. The second floor has a large open space with a staircase where they would store the gallows. It would also serve as the exercise area for the inmates. So they would hang people where they would exercise?
I'm sure. They just needed the space.
Wow. Okay. I was on the second floor and we were being given a tour by the guide before starting our overnight, and I was hit by a blurry mass. My team said it was like I was in a trance because I wasn't listening to the guide at all when he led us into another room.
Oh, okay.
I walked out of the second floor cell block up to the third floor and sat down on the edge by the stairs with my feet hanging over the railing. Ugh. I was then hit by such immense pain and sadness. I literally couldn't move for about 20 minutes. The tour guide finally came up the stairs with the group and pointed to where I was sitting and said, that's where the prisoners would climb over the railing onto the gallows before they were hung.
Oh my god.
Dang. I was barely able to function the rest of the night.
Ooh. Oh
my god.
That's spooky ookie.
No. When you said I sat on the edge, that's literally what I thought of, is like seeing someone have a noose put over their head and just boop. That is horrifying. Oh my god.
Wow. That's why I would never do a spooky tour or a paranormal tour. No.
I would.
I know you would. Okay, next story. Hi, Haley. Hi, Andrea. I love your guys' podcast so much. I started about 2 weeks ago and listen while I do my work from home. Thank you.
Yeah.
I wanted to send you my personal spooky stories. My name is Abigail. I'm 26. I'll get right into it with a little smirky face. I love it. I love you already, Abigail. I've been dating my boyfriend, Austin, 24, for about 3.5 years now. I don't know why I said 3.5. 3.5 years now. As you know, this housing market is insane, and my boyfriend and I are looking for a house, but down on our luck. Meanwhile, we swap between my parents' and his parents' house. Been there, done that. His parents have a second home, so usually it's just us at their other house. Well, this goes all the way back to early 2019 when we began dating. Have you ever placed an object somewhere and thought, did I really move that, or how did that get there? Well, that's the story of my life, but recently I've come to find out, no, I didn't move that, and neither did my boyfriend. You guessed it, we are taunted over and over by this ghost, or as we like to call him, Frogger, because he might be a squatter we've never seen. The summer of 2019, Austin and I went out for a movie and dinner date. We turned off all the lights and left. About 3 or 4 hours later, we returned home, alone. Everyone was at the second home, we'll call it the lake house. And to our surprise, the chandelier light was on, which is never turned on. It's right at the doorway of the front door, which is never used. Immediately, we got frightened and asked each other, did you turn that on? Both had no idea how it got on, so we made our way into the house, and it was eerily quiet. We kind of brushed it off and went on with our night until we started hearing noises, almost as if someone was walking around downstairs. Faint footsteps. Mm-mm. We get up to check it out and weird. The office light is on and the door is closed, which is usually propped open a little bit with the light turned off. So Austin grabs a Corona beer bottle. Meanwhile, I grab a hockey stick. Okay. The Corona beer bottle is a great choice for a weapon.
Yeah.
We check everywhere. To our surprise, there's nothing. No trace of anyone, no noises, no doors unlocked. Everything besides the office was just as we left it. So us being freaked out of our minds, we shove a folding chair under our doorknob so, you know, no one will get in. LOL. Wake up the next morning and sure as shit, there is a dusty shoe print at the bottom of the stairs.
Ew.
Yeah, you're telling me. I was so scared, I never wanted to go back. These instances happened with the lights, doors, etc. for a couple months. Fast forward to Christmas, we came home from the lake house after spending Christmas with his family and are getting ready for a family photo session with my family. And need to note, we both vape. I know, terrible. Anyway, I had a red one. Austin had a blue, like so blue you could spot it anywhere. And somewhere between walking into his house to the upstairs bathroom, it vanishes. Whatever, we'll share my vape and we go to my family's house and do the photo shoot. We come back a couple hours later and again, the house is just so creepy quiet. It's late and I had a headache, so I take a shower, grab Advil, a water, and my phone and place it on his bed, which is perfectly made. He's particular about that. And it's a plain, crisp, white comforter, also important to note. Austin comes in from doing work on his computer, and I had stepped out to pee before he came in. When I came back in to get my Advil I had placed on the bed, lo and behold, an electric blue vape was sitting right by my water, Advil, and phone. So I said, "Oh, hey, you found your vape." And Austin is quiet for a second and said, "No, I didn't. I still haven't found it." And I said, "It's right here on the bed." And he didn't put it there. I didn't put it there. It was never there before.
No. Goodbye. See you later.
Is this ghost / fogger playing games? We both tweak and do the same run around with the Corona bottle and hockey stick. Still nothing. Fast forward to that summer, we're finally at the lake house and his brother and brother's wife are staying at the main house back home. They call to tell Frogger is at it again. This time, they locked the doors, went to bed. Brother's wife gets up to pee and notices the motion-sensored nightlight downstairs in the hall is on, which only turns on if someone walks past it. Mm-mm. Do you have chills yet? I have chills.
I'm leaving. I don't even live there, and I'm leaving.
Yeah. Do you have chills yet? Well, don't worry, you will. So she freaks out, goes to her room, and tells her husband, "I think someone's here." And they grab a much more logical weapon than we had gotten and search the house and nothing. So they double check that they locked both the deadbolts and to all the doors and the locks on the knobs. All good until they woke up the next morning and noticed the deadbolt to the garage doors were both unlocked, but the knob was still locked. So someone or something went out of the house and locked the knob back.
Uh-uh.
Oh my God. They then left and everything seemed fine until we came back. And that's weird. Austin's TV is on, playing a show that we don't watch. And that would never happen because you know how I mentioned Austin's particular about the comforter? Well, that goes for a lot of things, the TV being off when we're not there included. So we automatically know we're going to endure a night of games from Frogger. Are you ready for one last creepy story?
Of course.
No, but yes.
I've already left, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, fast forward to just a couple weeks ago. We got up to go fishing very bright and early. Austin's choice, not mine. And came back to nap. I got up before Austin, and I was craving a shower, so I went up to take one. And I closed the door because I know Frogger is always up to no good. And I'm washing my hair, doing all that good girly shit, and I hear footsteps coming up from the stairs. This didn't scare me at first because Austin will usually join me if he had just woken up from his nap. So I wait and wait and nothing. So I peek my head out of the curtain and the door is wide open. Oh my God. My heart dropped to my butt and I legit almost pooped in the shower. So I washed out my very expensive hair treatment so fast and jetted out of there. I went down to see if Austin was awake, and he wasn't. He was sound asleep. It's been since then since something happened, but we definitely share a lot of "did you hear that" every night. Not to mention his parents hear cabinets closing every single night, and it isn't us.
No.
That's my encounter with spooky. I'll let you know what happens next time. So do you think it's a ghost or is there a squatter living with us? I'll let you decide.
Oh, it's definitely a ghost.
Thanks for reading. I think it's definitely a ghost because I think at this point, if it was a squatter,
like, would have seen
them.
They're
not necessarily doing things that are like, I don't know, beneficial to them, I guess. Like,
yeah.
I definitely think it's a ghost.
Yeah.
Oh, that gave me so many heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of, you should like, well, I don't know. I was going to say you should look up and see like if anyone died there, but maybe you don't want to know that.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Oh, that's so creepy. But thank you for sharing. But I would not be living in that house. So props to you for continuing to go back.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess if you have no choice, I get it. The housing market is rough. I get it. But still, yeah, it's really creepy.
It is. It's rough out there.
Yeah. But that is all we have for you guys today.
Yeah. Thanks Listener for sending stories, in spooky, all your spooky stories. We loved them.
These
we always loved them.
Were amazing.
Keep sending them in. We have so many to get to, but just keep sending them because we really love doing these. I know it's not everyone's, you know, jam, but it's our jam.
But they're fun. And it's fun as a bonus episode on Halloween especially. So yes, we hope you guys have or had, depending on when you're listening to this, a fun, spooky Halloween. And we'll see you guys later with new episodes as always. But until then, keep it human.
Bye guys.
Bye.